Tonight I want to build on what I started in the morning. So that's the downside of those who are not able to make it in the morning. One of the principles I've learned in ministry, I've been in the ministry only a few years. 26 years ago. It's a few years ago. A young man came to me and said that his marriage is packing up, a pastor, and then he cannot continue. Another thing, I said, what happened? Your marriage is just about 2 years. But he said, they're going to divorce. I said, I wish I have something to share with you. My own marriage is very young. It's just 24 years. It's a young marriage. It's just 24 years. So I said, I wish I have enough experience to share with you. But there are some things I'll tell you now. You said you told your wife something, and for more than 1 year she's still repeating it. Mine has not repeated, it has not stopped repeating certain things after 24 years. And just when you thought that she's in the spirit, she brings it up. I know the women here are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are not in that category. So you are, these are Holy Ghost women. They don't belong. You are free from that. It's only Abuja women that do things like that. So I told the young man, if you want this marriage to work, you're going to have many more opportunities to divorce her. When I was to come, my wife said, you know this medical guru say you want to go. My spirit. Today he was telling me, he said, sir, you are going to be a blessing to us, and just give me the dates. I said, when we finish, he said, where is that person calling you? I said, from Maiduguri. He said, is it the same Maiduguri we have been hearing about? I said, yes, it's the same Maiduguri. He said, you've gone there before, it's not the same thing now. I said, that man that spoke to me is alive. Whatever keeps him alive, he needs my visit. I said, if I can't identify with him in this type of crisis, it will be evil to come when there is no problem. I want to enjoy anything. I said, if I don't have faith to keep me alive, what am I going to minister to the people there? Do you understand what I'm saying? We've been talking about oil for territorial conquest. And my assignment has been to approach it from the finished work. So tonight I want to talk to you on operating in the finished works. In the finished work of Christ. Now, this finished work of Christ, if I were to teach this thing, I don't know what the Lord will permit me whether to build on. But it will take us at least 4 or 5 series of an average of an hour or more before I can really do justice to that subject. But I hope to introduce it and see where the Lord will lead us. How much time do I have, sir? Let me... Okay, 1 hour is okay. I will, whatever we stop, 1 hour will be okay. Now, there are several components of the finished work of Christ. The finished work, let me give you 4 components. Number one, there is the finished work in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. When man was created, God's work finished. The Bible says, thus, that's chapter 2 of Genesis now. Genesis chapter 2. I just speak that, and then so that I can lay some good foundation. Genesis 2. From verse 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Holy Spirit, just give me a pass. There are so many things jumping at me now. But let me start with you here. I told you God has been dealing with me in the book of Genesis. And I have 30 principles that are foundational principles in Genesis that when you key into it, they can revolutionize the way you think and change your living, change your relationship with this universe. In that verse 2 alone, it says, thus were the heavens and the earth finished. I can pick so many, but let me just give you this. The Bible did not say heavens and earth were finished until man was created. And when you see the last verse, and on the seventh day, God rested. Here's the principle there. Every time God finds a man and places him on top of assignment, God rests. God doesn't have to feel headache. If he can find a suitable person, if he gets a suitable man and places him on top of an assignment, there is rest. God enters into another season of rest. Because in God's mind, he has equipped the person with all that he will need and require to function in that position. You will discover that when the children of Israel were murmuring, God didn't answer all of their murmurings. But when Moses will come to him and say, what shall I do? He will speak. Because once you place a Moses on that nation, every other thing will function. I pray that God will give you revelation. Because the purpose of God entering into rest, the reason for entering into rest, is because he has now found a replica. A specimen of himself. And placed that over his assignment, over the works he has made. Therefore, he can rest because one of us is in charge. When he said, let us make man in our own image, what he was literally doing was diverging himself, creating one like unto himself to be in charge so that he will not have to be in charge. He will only be in charge of that man, and the man will be in charge of other things. The family name of every child of God is Elohim. When you say ye are gods, and all of you, though you are children of men, but you are gods. What he's just saying is that's our father's name, you know. A lion gives birth to a lion. God will give birth to God. I think this is too heavy for evening. Maybe you should have been in the morning session. Oh, there. Okay. I believe that you are going to get the tips. So you will get it when you listen to it 3-4 times. See, it's a psychological fact that when you listen to one thing only once, in 3 days, you've forgotten 90% of it. Yes. If you listen to it 3 times, in 7 days, you will retain 30% of it. If you listen to it 7 times, within 7 days or thereabout, you retain 70 or 80% of it. So you're not going to get everything I'm saying now. Some of you, it's going to take you a year or two more to get to the depth of what I'm talking about. That is my own office, is to come and set in order as a wise master builder to put some cornerstones so that you can reflect for a longer period before I come again and put another one on top. Because I've started coming, I won't stop coming here. Amen. Amen. Maybe you will even build me a tabernacle here so that I will stay beside your house. I was telling the brother yesterday, and then I said, I love this place. I love every time I visited Medjugorje, I've loved the place. It's a lovely, it's one of the places you can visit and just love the place. You won't know why, you just love it. Now, the Bible says, thus were the heavens and earth finished. He didn't say that on the fifth day. It was after he had created man. So until God has placed a man on an assignment, nothing is finished. So if you understand this principle, that once God has placed you on something, on assignment, that assignment is considered finished, that's why you are brought there, then you will get a principle that God does not start what he has not already finished. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because do you know that when he placed the man in the garden, he didn't place him in the entire jungle. He placed him in a finished garden. Planted it, watered it, got water and streams of water flowing. There was a river in the midst. And as the river was flowing, it parted into four heads. In other words, in God's own design, this is the replica of what the entire earth should be. See, the Bible says, towards the east, he planted a garden. Do you know that the Garden of Eden is not all that there was? It was just a specimen of what it is, a prototype of what God says the entire earth should be. Because if you don't know it's a prototype, he planted it in the east. There is south, east, there is west, and there is north, there is east. And there is south, west, east, and north. He planted it in the east. Two, if you don't understand, you will remember that when they were driven out of the garden, they were driven somewhere. The whole earth was a jungle. But God, in the midst of that earth, planted a garden. He didn't put the man in the jungle. He put him in a finished garden. Just dress it. Here is the principle of keeping the garden that God has placed you. Take care of your woman. If you don't guide your woman, if you don't guard your woman, you will lose your garden. You let her begin conversation with serpent, you will lose the garden. You will lose the garden. So the secret of keeping your garden begins with.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. You see, many years ago, one of these wonderful men of God, I don't want to mention his name here, had a philosophy. His philosophy is, God is the foundation of my life, and then follow it is my ministry, then my family. My ministry comes before my family. I respect his anointing because God has used him mightily. But I disagree with him fundamentally on that. The building block of my life, and I taught my children that I say, your foundation, God. Next to it, family. After your family is your ministry. After your ministry, other things. Because the first thing to fail you in life is others. And after that, your career is the next to fail. See, you will gather church, you will gather everybody like this. One little mistake you make, they will all leave you. So when career, ministry, when those things has failed, family will be there to receive you. To help you clean the mess. And just in case your father and mother and wife leaves, the Lord will pick you up. 3 years ago, the wife filed for divorce. You say, man, the wife of this same brother filed for divorce. I mean, let me say, it's Benihi. And the wife filed for divorce. And it was all over the thing. And then, from one problem, the thing was just growing bigger and bigger. I was weeping on my knees. Every time I read it and they send me, I would be crying. I say, Lord, no. No, Lord, no. You've got to do something. The wife was depressed. There's no attention. The ministry has taken over everything. And they were like that 3 years. At a time, another big news came that Paula White was going out with Paula White. And all kinds of things. And this year, the Lord brought them back together. When I got the mail, tears of joy ran down my cheeks. Because I know that's a general in the army. It's too big to be lost. We can't afford it. Because the enemy that struck that man wants to strike every other person. And if people like that can go, then it brings shivers down your spines to say, who are you? And then I watched him on television. He was now talking about it. I said, this is what I used to believe. Now I know it is all wrong. That after God is my family. Do you know that his worship leader, everybody, partners, everybody deserted him. He couldn't survive again. Everybody just left. Then he, you know. It's now that he has to give the testimony, went on television, and Jack Hayford is marrying them this August. Because in America, you have to remarry. He's marrying them again in this August. 3 years after divorce. Marrying them back, and then people are now gradually trying to come back to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't keep your woman, you lose your garden. There is the other woman that you need to keep. There is a sense in which, you see, in every he, there is a fee. Do you understand what I'm saying? God made male. He created Adam. And inside Adam was who? Eve. So in every male, there is a female. It's inside every man. And so there is a sense in which, and in every female, there is a male. And let me give that to you. The Bible says, my soul shall make her abode in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Whenever you read soul in the scripture, it's a feminine word. Your soul is feminine. But when you hear the spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord, that word is pneuma, is masculine. So this woman has a spirit which is masculine, and she has a soul which is feminine. In that sense, she can be a son of God and a daughter of God at the same time. You as a man, you have a soul which is a female, you have a spirit which is male. In that sense, you can be the bride of Christ. You may not get it now, you get it some other days. When you listen to it again. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to keep your garden, you better guard this guy. Because most of the spiritual warfare and devils you are binding is, they are all things that are done between your ears. This old guy here. The information that has been fed into this man through your ears and your sight is what has developed and constituted a stronghold in your life or in a land. Now look at it. I came into this place. The brother who picked me, we were talking. I said, I love this place. I said, how much does land cost? I said, this is good. He said, sir, that is how everybody who comes here is easy to be loved and other things. That is what they did say. Other people, when they say, Pastor, I'm coming to you, I said, no, I'm not at home, I'm in Medugu. He said, Medu what? Now, me, I'm here thinking of building three tabernacles here. Somebody is thinking of flying away from here. I fly away, oh glory. Do you see the difference in perception? It depends on how, where you keep this man. This man, I'm working on this man every day, receiving the engrafted word that will save this old guy here, so he can always bow to this guy. So my woman can bow to the man in the house. That is the sense in which Paul was saying, if any woman will learn anything, let him ask the husband, who is Christ, living here. Let not woman begin to speak. Let not your woman, your soul begin to usurp the authority of Christ. Speak from your spirit. Listen to the mind of the spirit, he will guide you. Hallelujah. I've not even started. This is just the first line I want to talk about. I hope we can get somewhere. Yes. If we don't, tomorrow we continue. Is anybody understanding me?
Yes, sir.
So that if you understand this principle, that the heavens and earth were finished, God did not place Adam in a place he had to walk. He only needed to. See, if he had kept to the instruction, he was going to replicate this garden in the whole earth. Because what God gave him is a prototype, and he had the capacity to turn the whole earth into this garden of Eden. But it all depends if you can keep this. An inability to keep his woman made him lose his garden. So God gave a finished earth to man. A finished garden. I don't want to go into the various aspects of that garden, because that would take me, distract me from what I want to talk about. Because inside the garden, the Bible talked of a river. And the river flowed and parted into four heads. I pray you get this. The river flowed and parted into four heads. And the first river, as it was flowing, opened up the minerals in the land. And the first thing, the first mineral to be discovered by man is gold. That's why it's called gold standard. In all the earth, all minerals, the price of all minerals are determined by the price of gold. Diamond is costlier than gold, but it is gold that determines the price of everything. It's the first mineral to be discovered by man. Is anybody understanding me? Do you know the reason God planted the river there? He says to water the garden. Let me show you this. There is no man that God created to do only one thing. And this is my problem with pastors. I've told them time and again. I said, most of you go into ministry, and they said, I don't want to do anything. It's a sin to touch any work. I want to this. I don't want to. I said, what is wrong with you? How can God create a man to do only one thing? Now I'm preaching. You think that's all I know how to do. If you read my books, you think it's all writing I know how to do. But if you see the poems and some songs I've written, though I don't sing well, you think that's all I know how to do. But when you see me, I have a company that runs leadership training and train people. We call it REST. Resources, strategizing, equipping, equals turnover. And then so we train companies. When I go into company corporate organization and I begin to talk to them about boardroom politics, how to really administer people and lead people, then some of them will come to me and they say, is it true that you are a pastor? Which one do we believe now? Because you think that's all I know how to do. You know why? Within the garden God has placed you, there's a river. The Holy Spirit is there. And if you allow Plakende Bobrokodo Shala, allow him to flow out, he will pass into four heads. He will show you what you are capable of doing. He will show you many avenues of raising wealth. Is anybody understanding me? David, just one David, had a garden. Warfare, he was a soldier. He was a singer. He was a dancer. He was a musician. He was a shepherd boy. Just wait alone. He was a musician. He was a leader. He was a soldier. Let's break it down. Come to the musical aspect. In music, he wrote song. He arranged song. He sang. He played instrument. He danced. Out of three areas, out of four areas God anointed him to cover, one of them distributed into five. He could dance for a living. He could sing for a living. He could play two instruments for a living. He plays more than any of these people. Yes. I mean, where he plays, he ministers deliverance with his instrument. Now, if you can minister deliverance with your saxophone, you will make money. Because the next thing we do is to gather people outside here and evil spirits are jumping out. Amen. So just one music alone. In music, he composed, he arranged, he sang, he danced, he played instrument. Come as a soldier. He began first joining the army. He killed Goliath. Later, he became captain of the guard. Later, he became the man that led the army of Israel. Later, he had 600 of his own army. 4 times. They come to his leadership. He began as a shepherd boy. Later, he led from Hebron. Later, he led the entire Israel until other nations were coming to bow. Every one of the areas that God expressed in his life, he had multiple things that he was able to express at the same time. Why are you telling me that the only thing you can do, read is Bible? You don't know any other thing about science. See, the revival that is coming to the body of Christ in the coming days is not the move of men of God. It's the move of the church. When members will begin to minister healing and deliverance. And so, if you don't know how to do anything other than girls carrying Bible, you will fail. Because these members will take your job. Did you read your Bible anywhere Paul went on full-time? He never went on any full-time ministry. And yet, half of the revelation of the entire New Testament came through him. I hear a pastor and tell me, he say, hey, the work has not been. You've been ministry for 10 years and your congregation is not up to 50. And you are coming to me, how do I grow my church? I said, the first step to growing your church is to stop depending on that church and go and join your wife in her shop. No. I'm not sure you want this kind of pastor here. I'm a good man. I'm very good. That's why God didn't allow me to pastor anymore. You can see the reason. I was pastoring, I pastored about 14 or 16 churches. I gave them out and all that. I'm no longer pastoring any local church. You can tell my members had a rough time. You couldn't be a worker in our church if you have not experienced 3 days dry fasting first. And you have not finished your Bible from Genesis to Revelation under 1 year. You will never be an usher. You can't be in the choir. You are going to redeem me when I'm gone. It's your fault. You brought me here. I said, well, how do I grow my church? Go and join your wife in the shop. That's the beginning of the church growth. Because then your member won't be grumbling when they're paying their tithes. Because they know you are making a living. I hope I have time to talk to you about the law of difference. Because it is that law that makes the difference between the rich and the poor. You know what the church wants us to do? What we are doing in churches today is that this church wants to be like Living Faith. Living Faith wants to be like Reading. Reading wants to be like Deeper Life wants to be like. See, the reward of difference is wealth. People don't reward you for being the same with everybody. Have you seen all the networks? Why do we have different networks? They offer different packages. MTN and Econet said it was not possible, which later became Zain, later became V-Mobile. They changed name like rapper. They said it was impossible. It was impossible to go per second. The Nigerian network, Glo, began and started with per second. Hey! Everybody started rushing to per second. Okay. I'm trying to preach another sermon now. I think these people are too hungry. They are pulling me. Where do I go? Anywhere I go, just take it. The work in the garden was finished. Man messed it up. The man messed it up. That is the deconstruction of creation. Adam deconstructed what God made and turned it into a wilderness. So God gave him a garden, and inside that garden he turned it into a wilderness. When Jesus came, Jesus went straight for the restoration of the garden. So this city where you are, where Boko Haram had been afflicting, was made a garden. And in God's mind, it's still a garden. But the enemy came in and we slipped and gave into it. But we are calling it back to Garden of God. We are reversing all the hands of the enemy over this city. Amen. Now, after man deconstructed it, Christ came to get that back. How do I know? The first time we are going to see Christ coming out of the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness, out of the jungle. You know what that means? The jungle is what the... See, jungle is an unkept garden. Because what God gave out to man was garden. Man turned it out to a jungle, turned it to wilderness. Jesus came out of the wilderness and he was ready to take it back. Where, for you to know that that was the garden, I just want to bring your mind back. For you to know that Jesus came out of the garden that was turned into, out of the garden that was turned into wilderness. Where did Satan tempt man? The first man. Where did Satan tempt Christ? Same garden, but only that man had deconstructed this garden from being the garden of Eden, the garden of God, and turned it into the jungle of the devil. God gave it to man, man gave it to the devil. And so when Jesus came up, he came out straight. And then the devil came and said the same thing he said at the beginning. If you can do something. You see, what he told those people is that if you can eat this, if you can do something, then you will become like God. When he came to Jesus, he said to Jesus, if you can do something, turn stone to bread. This issue of appetite. Man's greatest problem is his appetite. Appetite seen and never satisfied. Appetite hearing and never satisfied. Feeling and never satisfied. Eating and never satisfied. Appetite. And so he came to Jesus again with appetite. Three appetites. The appetite turns stone to bread. The appetite power. The appetite for wealth. The same appetite that the other people fail from. The difference here though is that Christ is about taking the garden and restoring back to us. And so he will defeat them. He will defeat him in all the temptations. I mean, when I went to Israel, there's a place they call the Mount of Temptation. It's actually in Palestinian territory, in Jericho, in Palestinian territory and all that. And so, you know, you have to go with cable car and all that. Once you get there, it's a scary place to be. Extremely high mountain. And then you can look there and see the dome. You can see the temple. Hundreds of meters, far, far, far into Jerusalem. Where he says he put him and showed the glory. You will just get the full import. And you know what happened? Jesus rebuked him. And then finally, when he says, do this, you remember what Jesus said? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God before that moment? That is the problem. That if you don't know how to balance scriptures, you don't know how to balance proceeding word of God from you when you are inside certain crises, you fall into those crises, not because God has not organized for your deliverance, but because you do not know how to manage the information coming from heaven to you. As I read in Matthew chapter 4, I read about the temptation. In chapter 3, the last verse, it says, and as he was coming out of the river Jordan, the heavens opened, and the Spirit had lighted on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus has not done anything. The Father said, I'm pleased with you. So when the devil came to him, when he came to the first man, they would have just said, devil, are you stupid? We didn't do anything to deserve this garden. Why are you asking us to eat to become like? We don't have to do to become. So Jesus just took that and said, it is written, the word that just proceeded out of God's mouth now is that this is my beloved Son. I have not done anything. He said, he is pleased with me. Why do I have to do anything to convince you? You are stupid, Satan. Are you in church this evening? So if you understand that the word that is proceeding is that I didn't do anything to be here, And so I don't need to do anything to prove anything. Instantly, the devil finds his place. He knows that the man knows he's onions. The other man says, okay, let's try and do so we can prove. And until we understand the finished work, that it is not your goodness, your merit, your fasting that made Christ come. Because it was while you were a criminal and enemy of God, he killed his son for you. And then you now think that after you have fasted now, then you want to convince God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you couldn't be struggling with trying to please God. That's the problem with this works thing. Vigils, good. Prayer, good. Fasting, good. But you must get to a point that everything is done under the control of the grace of God. Because that's where the finished work is. The work of faith is to believe in what Christ has finished. That is how you release God's abundance on earth. I don't know, I may be confusing you, but when you listen to the tape, you will come round. Amen. I told you this series is, we can hold a whole meeting of 5 days like this, just dealing on the finished work. And I have a lot of illustrations I will give you, that you will know that before you were sent here, God has finished the warfare of this place. It was right in the book of Isaiah. He says, speak comfortably to my people. Tell her that the warfare is accomplished. I think in one of these series, I don't know whether morning or evening, I'm going to be talking, maybe on Sunday or something. I want to talk on triumphant procession. I might want to show you how the parade that happened when the devil was defeated. You see, alright, let's see. I know God will lead us there. If I show you, because the way we are acting in church, the way we are engaging warfare with the devil, is like, do you know warfare? The word, if you check dictionary, some of the dictionary meaning of battles and warfare means battles between two undefeated foes. That's not true between us and the devil. The devil has already been defeated. So I'm not engaging in warfare as in trying to capture a land. I'm fighting not for victory, but from victory. All right. I don't even know where to start from now. That's the trouble. Whatever happens, Jesus went and then he died. If you get to Israel, they'll show you. If you have a good guy, they'll take you there and they'll show you the garden where Joseph Arimathea, and you see the tomb that was dug. It's in a garden. Golgotha is just behind it. And there he died. The place the reason they call it the place of the skull is that when you look at the view of the rock, just look like human skull. So he was crucified there outside the old wall of Jerusalem, because the old fence is there. And then outside he was crucified there, and then he was brought in here inside the garden. Where did it all start from in Genesis? Where did it all start from in Genesis? Where did Jesus start? The wilderness. The garden that was turned into wilderness. And then he came out. Now he was being buried in the garden. And then as he was being buried in the garden, do you know that as he was dying, beside that garden, as he was dying, he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. You know, he didn't say mother. He didn't say my mother. He said woman. You know what he was saying? He was reminding, he was trying to call that prophecy in Genesis to pass, which says, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of Satan. And he will bruise his heel. So he wanted this woman to remember that, look, you are fulfilling prophecy that Satan is bruising my heel now, but give me 3 days, I will bruise his head. I'm trying to show you the picture of how the garden came back. The garden we lost, how Jesus brought it back. Right? right there on top of the garden, he stretched his hand. And the Bible says, blood. They made a crown of thorn. And that crown started piercing his forehead and everywhere. And blood was dropping. That crown of it represents the curses that came upon the earth. Because God said, thorns and tissues shall the earth bring forth. This crown he took shows that the earth is no longer cursed for that. He took the curse of the earth. He was on the tree. It means the entire vegetation is taken out. It's all redeemed back. And then he was nailed. I can go into every one of those. And there are too many typologies there. But let me tell you. Now he was nailed and his blood and water touched on the ground. The moment that happened, the Bible said there was darkness on the face of the earth. Because the light of the world was taken off. And then once the light of the world was taken off, pop! The saints that had died in the Old Testament, they all came up and started walking around Jerusalem. Those guys saw Moses, they couldn't recognize him. They saw Elijah, they saw Abraham. Those saints began to walk. They have been in paradise. They walk. The Bible said they walk around Jerusalem in 3 days. He went down there and immediately, because the blood, see, this whole idea that this land is cursed, this thing. See, once the blood touched the earth, to show an evidence of redemption was why the dead came alive. So there's no earth, there's no ground, there's no state, there's no city that is cursed now. Because the blood of Jesus that touched the earth brought out the dead. What that signifies is that everything that breathes life, I mean that breathes death on this earth in which man had been from the garden which we deconstructed, my blood spilling on earth is bringing redemption and spilling life back. That's why those people came out. To illustrate to you that this earth has been redeemed. The problem is the problem of knowledge. And what you don't know can hurt you. It can make you fight on every battle. I said we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Let me give you, I've traveled this way to Kano. Let us assume that El Kanemi here was fighting. And he's been fighting, down to this thing. And he's gotten to Damaturu is next. That's the same capital. Then after that, Potisco. So let's assume this king here has driven out his enemy from here and taking control of this land and then occupied. And then down to Damaturu and down to Potisco. And the people that used to be here have been driven to Potisco. And then the king now had settled here and put his people here. Another down to Damaturu. And while they were in Damaturu there, they are engaging the people in Potisco. They are pressing on, try to push them away from Portisco. Then the man here, he's not sleeping in the night. Oh, I don't know, these people may come from Portisco. In the name of Jesus, from Portisco, in the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, fire of the Holy Ghost. From where? From Portisco. Won't they pass through Damaturu? I don't know what sense it makes for children that were born in this place. After 10 years of our king moving from here and moving to Damaturu and occupying Damaturu and chasing the people further. And the people are moving towards Gigawa State and other things. And they are even pressing them to move from Portisco. I don't know what sense it makes after they have been established there for 10 years for the man that was born here to start losing sleep that the people from Portisco might jump Damaturu and come here and attack him. What sense does it make that after 2,000 years of Jesus spoiling the devil, that you are still feeling sleepless nights, and then telling devil, hey, devil, you are fire, and you can no longer sleep. What sense does it make? When the man, the moment he died, what did he say in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1? What did he say? Thus were the heavens finished. What was the last word Jesus said? It is. He repeated what was said in the garden. When he was going to resurrect. See, when he was going to resurrect, he was resurrected from this garden. And he came out, the stone rolled out. It's actually a place you can enter the tomb. You know, the way they built it, you enter in, inside the rock. You enter into the place and the stone is rolled at the door. When you enter, there's a place where you now lay the corpse and you can see there. It's like a room. The thing was rolled out. Do you know that when Peter went in there and then they saw, you know the message we always preach? The tomb is empty. Why are you still looking for him? The tomb was not empty. Only that Christ was not there. You know what was in the tomb? There were two things that the people that went there saw. And they carry more message than Christ just not being there. The first thing they saw was that the napkin that covered the head was neatly, like cap, removed and kept aside. Then the cloth that covered the entire body was scattered on the ground. Number one, it says to me that Christ has resurrected. Number two, the head. When you bind somebody with cloth, with napkin, it's supposed to be rolled out, isn't it? The way the cloth was. But it was removed like hat and put aside. You know what that says? The head is complete. It's now the body of Christ that has to get the revelation of a complete body and begin to build into it. That's why the cloth of the body was not yet properly made. The first. Or the second thing. The fourth thing. Please come, brother. Two of you come. Okay. Something happened. And the Bible says they saw two angels. One sitting at the head. Please come. One sitting at the head. And I like your suit. When I grow up, I'll buy something like this. Please come. Okay, face this man. You face him. Raise your hand and do like this. Yeah, raise it up. Okay, do that. Do that too. Okay. Do you get this? One was at the head, one was at the foot of the head. And then both of them, what? That means that this is the place that the propitiation of your sin took place. And that's why he told Magdalene, he told Mary, he said, don't touch me, let me go up and present this blood first. I want to finish what I've just done. The ark, the lost ark in the Old Testament, you just find it inside the tomb. And all this was happening in the garden. Do you get the revelation here? Thank you. Now that was happening, because we saw this inside the tomb, everything became complete. And the man came out on the third day, and then he came out, resurrection. All that we lost in the garden, everything got restored back to man. So I do not need to till the ground. I only need to keep what Christ has done by investigating what he did, knowing what he did, knowing what he has accomplished, and made provision through his shed blood and propitiation, and walk into it. And no devil can stop me. Because it's all finished. In the garden. It's all finished in the garden. So that when he made a final restoration, you see the picture of a finished work in the book of Revelation. When you see Revelation chapter 22, and now we see this garden. Another garden again. We see this garden. The difference between the restoration of the garden that Christ brought in and the one that we had before is that the first one carried the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one we see in the book of Revelation carries the tree of life.
Yes, sir.
And the river of life. This other garden that we lost had a serpent kissing and talking to human beings. This other one didn't have any serpent. So the restoration that Christ has brought back to us is better than what we lost. This is where we all got it wrong. Instead of us shooting for God's best and entering into that realm, what we do is to continue to struggle. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan, hold on, Mashanama, you will not have me, fire, oh, fire, fire. Excuse me. If the people in Portisco ever tries to call me and tell me, hey, we're going to come to you, we will destroy you, when I know that my king has long shifted ground and there's a distance between me and this man from here to Damaturu, and that he cannot even penetrate because he has to cross Damaturu before getting to this place, I don't lose a sleep about it. I just say, shut up in the name of the man that defeated you and drove you. If you were that important, if you were that strong, you would have waited for him here. You were not able to contend with him here. You ran away from here to Damaturu. He chased you to Portisco, and I'm even told now that you are only bragging in Portisco that you are already running towards Gigawa. Come on, shut your mouth. If not, I report you to my king. In the name of that king, now! Do you see why the name of Jesus is all that you need to do everything? To come into the understanding. You see, you are not going to be able to walk it if you don't know how it works. If you don't know that you have been so delivered, you have been so restored back into the garden, that you are supposed to live better than Adam and Eve right now. If you don't know that principle, you will be laboring for things you should just claim. And when you begin to read the book of Revelation, do you know what it says in the book of Revelation? He said, and I heard a voice from the holy place in the temple saying, it is finished. It is done. Do you know, sir, the message that the church ought to be preaching today is only one. It is finished. We ought to be preaching finished work of Christ. To let you know that the things you are laboring for have been paid for. And it doesn't make sense at all for you to be holding the receipt of what has been paid for, and then you go to shop and you are struggling to pay. And that is exactly, he says, and I heard a voice from the temple. The temple, what is the temple? The temple in Jerusalem? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The church. The message from the church, from the altar of the church, ought to be, it is finished. This work is finished. So what do I do? Yes, all that I've been telling you now is the introduction to what I want to do today. So we are going to pray at introductory level. Everything I've told you is just introduction. I have yet to get near, and I wanted to do some illustration and all that. But mommy will keep this for us against tomorrow. I'm going to do my illustration. I don't know, maybe in the morning or in the evening, whatever. Maybe in the evening tomorrow. And I will do the illustration and all that. I want to show you the finished work. I wanted to dramatize it for you so that it can sink deeply. I'll do it maybe tomorrow evening. But here is it. You must come to this point of knowing that whatever is not according to God's purpose in alignment is robbery. It is illegal. It is illegitimate. And now that you are in alignment with God, if there are things in your life that have not come into alignment, those things are robbing you of your inheritance. They are rightfully yours. Because you have been restored back to the garden that you lost. The unfortunate thing is that we don't have the knowledge. And in fact, if you all do understand, you are restored to a better garden that doesn't have a serpent. And it does not have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It has the tree of life. And if you have Christ in you, that is the garden you operate in. I don't know, even tonight, if you have problems with your body or whatever it is, I'm going to lay hands on you. Tonight, you will enter into your inheritance. Enough of, if it is the will of God that this, it is not the will of God. The garden we are restored back to has abundance beyond the first garden. In that garden, see, let me give you this because my time is over. Let me give you this. How many people have ever thought, why didn't God stop the serpent, stop the woman from talking to the serpent, or stop the serpent from talking to the woman? How many of you have ever thought about that? It's a legitimate question. But it ceases to be legitimate when you remember the instruction that God gave. He says, go replenish. He said, go multiply. replenish, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. So if you cannot replenish, multiply, and fill the earth, if there's anything stopping you from filling the earth, not only in your children, not only concerning children, not only concerning, but business, filling the earth, buying lands, buying this, if there's anything that stops you from buying things or getting, and then letting your influence spread abroad. Do you know that the river that flowed from the garden flowed and parted into four heads? How many wings of the earth do we have? The south, the north, the east, and the west. In other words, if you understand this principle, your influence will spread to the four wings of the earth. To the south, to the east, to the north, to the west. That's why the river parted into four heads. Just for you to know that your influence can spread over. Is anybody understanding me? God told him, he said, multiply, replenish, feed the earth. If for any reason there's something that is contending with you, what is the last two commandments? Blessing and command that he gave them. He said, subdue and have dominion. Exercise your authority here. When he says subdue, you know the meaning of subdue? Is to subjugate, is to press under, to force, to obey. You thought that lions would not have been lions. The Bible called them wildlife. Other translation called them wildlife. Lion had always had a wild nature. Sharks had always had a wild nature. Elephants and all that, they were always created like that. It was not the fall of man that made them wild. They were always wild. What the fall of man did is that it incensed them against us because we are out of alignment with our own headquarters. So they can no longer obey us as easily as we want. But God said, subdue and have dominion. You know what that means? You cannot go inside the sea. You were not created to live inside the sea. The sharks and hippopotamus will kill you. Or you will drown. So what he has done is this. Since I've given you authority and dominion to rule over these things, I'm going to give you something that is above them, so that you can tame them and bring them to subjection. So there's no animal that man has not tamed. Because we have this more than them, which they don't have. So when this serpent, when that man came in, when that devil came in and sneaked into the serpent, and you know why he had to choose serpent? The Bible says the serpent is subtle. Be wise as serpent. He's very crafty. So he has to use a crafty animal. So that will tell you that the nature of Satan, the major primary way Satan works is deception. I'm writing a book on deception, 18 laws of deception. If you don't break those laws, you can never be deceived. The reason the devil chose that animal is because by nature that animal is very crafty, very clever, very subtle. And because of that, you know, by the law of first mention, you know that the primary weapon of the enemy is deception. And if you can clear the deception of the enemy in your head today, you are a liberated man. And now why do you expect God to come and stop serpent from talking when he told you to exercise dominion over everything, including that serpent? Serpent is not talking with you and say you are fellowshipping with serpent. And don't know why are you not going to suffer? I say, why don't you carry this and eat? He said, and he told us not to eat. Oh. Now you were supposed to exercise. I say, shut up! How dare you talk to me? How dare you talk to me? And the devil will have gone. But now you wanted God to come and bind what he gave you authority to bind. That is why we have not inherited our inheritance. That is why you have not possessed your possession. You want God to do some things he has told you to do. Tonight, you're going to say to yourself, I've cheated myself long enough. Now my eyes are open. I receive my inheritance. And from now, I will begin to exercise dominion. I'm not going to let the devil sit in my back. I sit in my leg, sit in my tummy. I rebuke them. I take authority and I exercise it and I say, stop. And I'm not going to repeat this instruction. I'm going to continue to confess that I have it. You thought that the more we vigil, the more we fast, the more we bind Boko Haram, the less they become. No! We only need to exercise authority one day. And tell them in the spirit, arrest them in the spirit, and say, we bind you. And say, stop! And every one of you that violate, and withdraw a spiritual line in the spirit, that once you cross that, you die. And every day we keep thanking God and keep confessing that it is done. You'll be hearing the testimony outside. The devil has intimidated us long enough. We have our garden restored to us.